And I have one verse that is in your bulletin right here. And it is the first verse in the New Testament. And I'd like for you to read with me this verse. Here we go. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And it goes on from there in Matthew chapter 1 to give you a genealogy of Jesus that is, has 42 generations, and they're broken into groups of 14 each. The genealogy is one in which it speaks of the many people that are in his line. And we talked about a group of them on Sunday. Genealogies are commonly used by people to cite their own ancestry in order to somehow verify their own worth or to show that they deserve certain rights, or for some it is simply an interesting way of discovering where and out of whom they have come. There has never, to my knowledge, been anything in the world quite like this particular genealogy. And the reason is because of what we have here in the genealogy of the arrival of the Son of God, come from heaven and humanity. Now, God could simply, on his own power and right, have intruded himself into the human scene, really by any means that he wished to do it. He chose to come through humanity, born of a woman who was a virgin. He came miraculously, but he could have just appeared. He didn't need to come to associate himself with any human being. He could have just kind of walked in from the wilderness, you might say. I mean, really, if you're the sinless Son of God, true God and come in the flesh, any association with anyone can only be at least several steps down from godhood. No matter how noble those people might have been, those that you associate with, you're still taking a step down. The marvel of this particular genealogy is that we are not merely dealing with nobility, royalty, or people that are really, what, top-notch stuff. We're dealing with people who are, in many cases, miserable failures. And some of them, if you were here Sunday, you remember this, some of them are pretty tragic failures. And I talked about a lot of these people just a couple days ago. But let me raise up to you the encouragement of why God really bothers to associate with these people. It is because God came to reestablish a relationship with us, and God is working his purpose out redemptively through people just like you and me. And that's kind of astonishing in and of itself. That is really part of the wonder of Christmas. There's a need for every one of us to come to the recognition that it is imperfect people like you and me who are God's agents, and we are his vessels and vehicles and instruments for bringing his blessing into this world. The fact that this genealogy is at the very beginning of the New Testament is a statement by God about his willingness to be associated with failures and imperfect people. And I hope you receive encouragement from that, if nothing else. I know I do. But that's really not tonight's message. That was Sunday's message. That was a message that I gave just 2 days ago. The message from this genealogy tonight is really right here in the very first verse of the New Testament. And we just read it. The book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, the son of Abraham. And that verse right there tells you two things about Jesus. He is the son of David and the son of Abraham. Now, both of these men have great significance according to the promise of the Word of God. The fact that these two men are named at the very beginning and highlighted above all the others is to show how God was going to fulfill his promises in this world. God sent Jesus to fulfill his promises. Abraham is highlighted because Jesus was sent to fulfill a promise to Abraham in Genesis chapter 12. David is highlighted because of a promise made to David in 2 Samuel chapter 7. And this genealogy not only shows that God associates with imperfect people, but that God fulfills his promises. God made this promise to Abraham. And he is the father of the faith, you might say it. He said, Abraham, from your offspring, all the nations of the world are going to be blessed. You are blessed to be a blessing. And to David, God made this promise. He said, from you, David, one will come who will be my king and my Messiah and will rule my people forever, and he will have an endless throne. So you have two promises represented in the people, Abraham and David. The promise of blessing is the promise that was given to Abraham. And the promise of dominion or kingdom rule was the promise that was given to David. Blessing and dominion. Two things that we were given in the Garden of Eden. We were given blessing and we were given dominion, and we lost them. First, the promise of blessing. Blessing is the promise of provision for our needs. Blessings to answer our need when we do not have the power to bless ourselves. The God who causes seed to grow in the ground to fruitful stalks is a God who will touch people like you and me with blessing. Our problem is that in and of ourselves, we are actually pretty barren as people. But it comes to us through Jesus Christ, and he causes us to be fruitful people. The promise of blessing. Abraham. And then there is also the promise of dominion. The promise of kingdom rule in our lives. Once again, we are barren in many ways when it comes to being victors in this life. All of us are, and some of us very frequently, and I choose this term purposefully, are get overruled, don't we? We get overruled by either ourselves or others, or by the assault of Satan and devilish things in our lives, or we just get overruled by the general way that life is. And this world can put us down. You ever felt overruled? We are overruled in circumstances and situations of our lives. And I dare say, as we come here tonight, there are lots of us here who are being really overruled by circumstances and situations in our lives right now. But God brings us the promise of kingdom rule through his son Jesus, who is the son of David, the greatest earthly king in the history of the people of God. How often this world holds us under its thumb, it can crush us down and break us down, and so often we are burdened with almost slave-like yokes that are put upon us and end up dominating our behaviors. And it comes from outside of us. How many times has the inside stuff happened to us where our own doubts and our own fears and other traits of our own weaknesses as people overrules us, takes us out, brings us down? Friends, we need a king. We need a Messiah. We need Jesus. Jesus is not only the Messiah who comes and delivers us and redeems us and blesses us, but he has also comes as King of Kings with ruling power that makes his kingdom rule and power really work in us, where we can see our lives with his life at work in us. So when the New Testament starts off with these very words, which are the message for the night, the book of the genealogy of Jesus Christ, the son of David, dominion. The son of Abraham, blessing. It's a statement that Jesus is the fulfillment of those two promises for you and for me and for anyone who will receive him as Savior. God has sent and is sending and will send a Savior to bless us with new life, and a Lord will establish his rule in our lives when we feel defeated and overruled. The wonder of Christmas is that God loves me so much that he would do this for me. The wonder of Christmas is that he would do so much for you that he would do this for you and me. And it's my prayer that you can see the truth of how much God loves you and has done for you as well. Part of the Advent wreath is the recognition of the light, because it's one thing for the light to be in the world, but to recognize that light in your own life is the most powerful thing and empowering thing. For unto us is born this night in the city of David a Savior who is Christ the Lord. May God bless you with eyes to see and ears to hear and recognize the true wonder of Christmas this year. Let's pray. Lord, I ask that you would help us to understand the two gifts, the gift of blessing, provision for our lives, and the gift of dominion, not to be overruled by the situations and circumstances that can come upon us in this life. In Jesus' name, amen.